between the fundamentals, and fundamentals is ratios, it's assets, liabilities, it's cash flow, it's profit, it's loss, it's dividends. Those are the fundamentals. You know, I always say the difference between a rich person and a poor person is the vocabulary or the words they use.
Yes.
You know, birds of a feather flock together. So if we use the same words, we hang out together. Like, so technical traders use the same vocabulary, but it's different than a fundamental trader. It's different vocabularies. So what is some of the vocabulary of technical trading?
Okay. Technical trading, talking about charting?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Well, you're looking for support and resistance levels. Support is buying areas that have been tested.
It means a price drops, you know, let's say it's at $20, it drops to 10, it doesn't go any lower than 10.
Yes.
That means people saying it's worth 10. That's the support level.
Correct.
Right.
That's where they bought the stock previously. If you go back and you can look at the chart and look at its history, you'll see that that's a good technical area to
that's
buy.
A very important thing that David just said. Because a lot of times I'm a board member of one of my little companies, and we like it when we have new buyers come in. So when one buyer got in at a dollar, it goes up to three. They sell at three. All of a sudden, new buyers come in at three.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we know at that point, our new support level will probably be right around three because nobody's going to, I bought it at three. I want to hang on at this point.
Yes.
So we like it when the old guys sell and the new guys buy because there's a new support level there.
Yes, correct. And that's what distinguishes an uptrend, actually.
Right.
Because when you get to that new level of support and then new buyers come in, then it goes above that level, then that level technically is the new support level. If it doesn't go above that level, it starts to come down, then that's called a resistance or selling level. Okay, so before a stock can go higher, it's got to go higher than its previous high. In the case you're giving the example of $3, it must go above $3 and stay above $3. If it falls, it should stay above that $3 level. Let me give you an example of the All Ordinaries Index here in Australia. If you look at the 1987 crash, okay, the high of the market was 2,300, and then it fell 50% in one day. Okay, it took 7 years before it got to that high again. If you look at the chart, exactly at that point of 2,300, it started to fall again, exactly at that level. And then it went down. But when it went down, it actually didn't fall as far as it fell previously.
It didn't fall to 50%.
No. So then started moving back up again, got back exactly back to that level again, and then fell again.
So that's the resistance level.
That was the resistance level.
It won't go below, above 23.
Yeah, so psychologically, investors were like really trying to get the courage to buy above this level.
So that's, finally, so at $3, that's the resistance level if it doesn't go above that.
Yes.
Okay.
And so the All Ords finally broke through that 2,300 level, and then we ran to new highs.
Okay.
And actually, when it fell, guess where the support level was? It never got below 2,300 again.
Okay, that's good.
So it actually was a great buying opportunity at 23. So it rallied to new highs. We got up to a high of 33, just below 3,300 just recently, and now it's fallen back. So actually, technically, our market has a very strong support level of 2,500. As we're speaking.
So that's what in technical trading is going to test its last support level.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Is it going to break through 23 or go down below that?
Yeah, today it's around 2,700. If it doesn't hold 2,700...
25 is next.
25 is next. And I would anticipate that 2,500 level will hold very strong. There'll be a lot of fund managers coming in with super fund money to buy at those levels.
Because they have to buy.
Yeah, and that's a screaming area to buy in. For a long-term investor.
Right. The other terms I want to ask you about are the terms called call options, put options, and shorting.
One of my favorite things.
Right.
My favorite topic.
So you'd rather trade options now than the actual stock.
Absolutely.
Right. Explain what an option is.
Okay. Well, as simple as possible. An option, it gives you the right to buy the underlying share at a particular price, at a specific price, at a specific time in the future.
Which means if the stock is $10, you don't have to pay
$10. No.
What you're buying is an option or the right to either buy it or sell it at $10.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay. So if the stock price moves up, the option that you purchased, the option price itself will move up in line with the stock price. Okay. Of course, if the stock price doesn't go up and it goes down, if you are holding call options, when you buy call options, you're actually expecting the market to go up.
Right. Okay. The saying I have is you call up or put down.
That's it.
So a call option means you expect if the price is at 10, when you buy a call option, you're expecting it to go to 20 maybe, let's say, hypothetically.
Yes.
So you're calling it up.
Yes.
And if it's at 10, you expect it to go to 5, you would buy a put option because you want to put it down.
Yeah,
you're protecting
correct.
Your bottom position.
Yep. Exactly. So, the thing I love about options is, number one, is the leverage you get out of them. In other words, you don't need
to
outlay.
You don't pay $10 a share.
You don't pay $10 a share. You pay a small amount, one-tenth, if not less than that.
So you pay $1. Let's use easy numbers. For a $10 share of stock, you may pay $1 for the right to buy or sell it.
Yes. So you're getting 10 times the leverage,
right,
basically. If the stock price falls, you'll lose on your option price. If you bought a call option, for example, and the price falls below $10, then it would really have to fall below $9. The stock would fall below $9, and you haven't lost anything because you could buy the stock below $9.
You just paid the dollar for the right to buy it.
That's right.
So when you buy a call option, let's say this price is at 10, you want to buy a call option for a dollar, the thing moves to $15.
Mm-hmm.
That means for $1, you have the right to buy it at
$10
and sell it at $5.
Yes.
But you're not going to buy and sell the stock. You can sell the option.
That's right. Correct.
So let's say you buy it's at $10. You have a dollar cost option.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to $15. What might that option be worth now?
Oh, easily $5 plus.
So what you're going to do is you're going to sell that dollar option for $5.
Yes.
You've made 500 times your money.
Yes, even though the stock price is only
50%.
Yes.
Right. So if you understand, that's what we're talking about in this tape, is that what David is saying, the leverage factor in options, in other words, you use less money, but you can make greater percentages on your money.
Absolutely.
Returns.
Yep.
So when somebody says it's hard to get a 5% return, you'd probably say no, right?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You're going for 40, 50, 100% returns.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yep.
And that's within a short period of time, some of it.
Oh, day.
Day, right.
Mm. I mean, the average, you can easily make or lose, let's make that clear as well.
Right.
30%.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, it goes both ways. 30% in one day, easily.
Right. But you're not losing as much because you only have an option.
Exactly.
You might lose a dollar.
Yes.
So if you bought it at 10, expecting to go to 15, but it drops to 5, it costs you a dollar.
That's right. Exactly. Because you can't lose any more than what you've paid for, which is the option price.
Right. So now let's say it's at $10 today.
Mm-hmm.
You expect it to drop to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you say, I'm going to buy a put option because you're going to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
For what you want to be able to sell it at 10.
Sell it at 10.
Right.
So a put option is just the reverse to a call option, which gives you the right to sell.
So the thing drops to $5.
Yes.
And you paid a dollar for that option.
Yes.
So let's say it drops to $5.
Yes.
What is that option worth now?
Oh, again, $5.
Yep. So you'd sell the option because the guy can now sell his stock at $10.
Yes, exactly. Right. He can exercise his right.
Right.
Which means that the person who sold him that right has to buy the stock from him at $10.
Right.
Okay. And even if he doesn't, see, the great thing about put options as well is that you don't actually have to own the stock.
No.
You just have the right to sell a stock that you don't even own.
Right.
The thing is, you could even exercise that right and buy the stock at $5, exercise your right, and sell it at $10.
Right. So you make that money that way.
Of course, most people, 90% of the time, people don't exercise their right. They trade the option.
Right. So that's one way you use options another one is use options as protection, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because so let's say you bought a stock at $10.
Mm-hmm.
It's now at $50.
Mm-hmm.
How would you use option as a hedge or a protection?
Okay. Well, you would buy a put option at $50.
Because you expect it to come down, right?
Exactly. In fact, a client of ours had a very large portfolio in bank stocks. You know, banks have been going up quite strongly over the last few years as interest rates were going down. And I said to him, look, he didn't want to sell his stock because he's been holding it for 20 years.
Right. And what a lot of times an average investor will do, they buy it, let's say, 10, it goes to 50. They're afraid it's going to drop. And what they do is they sell their position out, right?
Yes, yes.
And so they have to pay capital gains and all that stuff.
Correct.
And then if it goes from 50 to 100, they can't get back in.
Yep.
So a lot of times people use an option, in this case at $50, and their fear is going to go down, they buy a put option as an insurance policy.
That's exactly what options are.
And that's why they're called hedges.
Exactly.
You want to hedge your position there.
Yes.
And that's why the average investor doesn't understand that. Just they go naked. They sit up there, you know, subject to up and down and all these price things, where a professional investor will hedge or protect or buy insurance to cover their positions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And that's the beauty about options. That's why the options market is there for that very reason, as a form of protection, because people are willing to sell you that right because you're paying them a premium.
Right.
So they're like the insurance agent.
Right.
And vice versa, people are willing to also give you the right to buy their stock in the future, because they have a view that it's not going higher, because otherwise they wouldn't be willing to sell you that right.
Right.
And you have a view it is going high, but you don't have the cash to buy the stock right now, but you may have it in 3 months' time.
Right. So let's say you can get a tax refund, let's say.
Yeah.
And in America, the tax refund comes in, let's say, June,
yes.
maybe.
Yeah.
And it's now January.
Mm-hmm.
The price of the stock is at 10 in January. You think it's going to be 100 in June.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, I want to buy a six-month option
mm-hmm. yep.
at $10,
yes.
hoping that it goes to $50 in June.
Yes.
Because I don't have the money today.
Correct.
And so that's when people say to me, I don't have the money. That's not an excuse in your mind, is it?
No, absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. Well, obviously, they're just not aware. And it's the old rule, you know, when you're ignorant or unaware of what's going on in the markets, and until you listen to one of these programs or come to one of my programs, you start to learn that there are other ways and means of being an intelligent investor.
Right. Was it you that said yesterday, if you think education is expensive,
try ignorance. Yep.
And the reason that 99% of all people don't die, aren't rich, is because they're ignorant.
Absolutely. I was ignorant when I went into the markets. It was almost like, for me, the analogy I use is going sailing and not knowing how to use a compass.
Or try this. How about, you know, I want to fly a plane so you don't take lessons.
Yeah, that's right.
Hit the throttle and lift the, you know, pull the rudder back or stick back.
Unfortunately, 90% of investors
do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
So another thing I hear is that, you know, the other one I hear is it takes money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having a little bit trouble understanding all this, don't worry about it. That's what we created 202 for, cash flow, because it gives you the physical experience of actually using call options, put options, and shorts and straddles and using hedging positions and all this, because you really don't understand it necessarily by listening to it. I think you have to do it. Because your brain goes in reverse. It's like it's going up and down, back and forth, inside and out constantly to understand a full market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most importantly, you've got to understand this, because these instruments, or these derivatives, they're called,
right.
because they're derived from a basis of this of something,
right.
And they're very volatile,
right.
extremely volatile. So, like I used to trade stocks and shares until I discovered options. You know, it's like looking at paint dry now for me, watching stocks and shares go up, because these things move very, very fast. So you really have to have key strategies in place as to knowing when to get in and when to get out. So volatility is very, very high in these type of instruments. And it depends what kind of investor you are, whether you are going to be a trader like me, which is in and out within a few days, because a week is a very long time for me in an option position. Because what are you buying? When you buy an option, you're paying for time. And if the longer you hold that option, it's like holding ice. The longer you hold ice, it just melts. So the time whittles away on that option.
So a six-month option gets less valuable the closer it gets
to its expiry.
Yeah, 5 months is less valuable, 4 months is even less valuable, 3 months, 2 months, it goes down.
Yes.
Right.
So that's not okay if you're a trader. You know, that's why it's like a greengrocer's got to buy and sell the fruit very quickly. It's the same thing, otherwise it'll go rotten.
Right.
The same thing applies with options. But if you're going to be a person who's a hedger, in other words, protecting your position or looking to buy in the medium term.
What you're doing is protecting your real stocks.
Yes, that doesn't concern you. The volatility won't concern you at all. Because you don't need the entire amount that it would cost you to buy that stock.
It's not even your stock.
That's right.
When people are like, what do you mean you're selling something you don't own?
Well, how's this? Here's a strategy. You could actually short sell stocks and buy call options in case it goes the other way.
So you're,
as a hedge,
you're covering your call.
You're covering yourself. That's
right.
Cover
it. Yeah.
So your risk.
What I'm trying to say is that what you never do, you don't ever take a risk.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
And so some people say investing is risky. It's because they're not trained.
Well, when I say to people, I can show you a way that you can borrow money 100% against stocks that you buy in the market, and absolutely guaranteed not lose any money, with no security except that the stocks that you're buying, that companies are willing to lend 100% against that portfolio with no risk of losing money. They look at me like I've got two heads because they don't believe me. But it's using options.
Right.
I mean, you can pay companies. There's companies who do that. And since they started managing those kind of portfolios, they've grown in billions of dollars overnight. People are paying them a much higher level of interest rate because instead of paying, say, 8% interest, they're paying 16%. Why are they paying 16%? Because they're paying for the cost of the hedge or the cost of the option that the institution uses to protect their portfolio. Very lucrative area. And yet, what I do is teach people how they can do that for themselves and not pay that sort of cost, you know. But it's all tax deductible anyway. So that's even – so how's that? You can buy a $100,000 portfolio, get a tax deduction for 16%, and you'll get dividends – you can buy – get fully franked dividends between 5 and 7%. So the net cost to you overall after is zero, or if 1%. So you've got a $100,000 portfolio that costs you 1%. Now, of course, you want to do that when the market's going up. At, you know, when it's coming off the bottom, it's one of the strategies is – I tell people, gear up big time, put in a hedge position, and it costs you nothing. You're using other people's money,
right,
to do that, and yet you're not taking any risk.
Wow.
Yeah. That's right. Great. Now is one of those golden opportunities.
As soon as it stops falling.
As soon as it stops falling, right. That's right. But even if it does, you can put in a hedge position now. So there's many different ways to skin a cat.
So I think what David is saying, what we're saying here, again, if we could tout 202, if it's really, it's tough for the mind to understand without physically actually having to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with doing it sometimes, it does take real money and risk and all this. And so that's why I created 202, is for cash flow 202, is you can actually practice it so your brain got used to it. It's like riding a bicycle.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that you physically can't do it. Your mind hasn't got to the balance yet.
Yes.
And there's a balancing process that goes on internally, not externally to the person.
Yeah. And getting the concept right. See, one of the things I loved about your game, Cashflow 101, is the concept that it teaches you.
Right.
I mean, I've made so much money out of that game. It's unbelievable.
Well,
and it just completely shifted my paradigm.
And that's the fundamental side of it.
That's the fundamental side. So, you know, I completely agree with you on that score, and that to practice and get the concept right in your mind is very important.
It's actually your brain becoming flexible again.
Yes.
You know, people always say, I'm almost amazed that my six-year-old son beats me at cash flow. I wonder why. And it's because his brain hasn't gotten old yet. It hasn't got atrophied yet.
Yes.
It hasn't got stuck in this is the right way versus the wrong way yet. The brain can move quicker. It can grasp concepts. You know, that's why, you know, today, you know, you see these kids on skateboards, you know, doing these unbelievable tricks where an old guy went out there and break his neck, you know, doing the same thing. Well, I'm not flexible anymore.
Well, that's why I left school at 15.
Yeah, you get stuck in right way versus the wrong way of thinking versus flexible thinking.
Yes.
And I think that one of the things it requires to play the options markets, the ups and the downs, is a very flexible mind, knowing the ins and the outs and seeing both, like I say, you got to see both sides of the coin. You got to see the risk as well as the reward, and reward as well as the risk, and that whole thing.
Yes.
You got to see the win as well as the loss.
Yep.
You got to know how to cover or straddle both positions, the up as well as the down.
Yep.
And understand that risk is manageable.
The key word you use there is flexibility.
Right.
Okay, you have to be flexible. You can't be stuck on an opinion.
Right.
Like in life, you know.
Right.
If you're stuck in an opinion about something, it ends up biting you at some point in time.
Right. The reason people lose is because they think they can't lose.
That's right.
And the reason people lose is they hang on to the losers.
Yeah.
When it starts to go down, they say, oh, it'll come back up.
Yeah.
And the moment it goes up, they sell it because they're afraid they don't want to lose anymore.
Yeah. And you know what? Human beings hate to be wrong.
Yeah. They hate
they
to
love
be wrong.
To be right.
Yeah.
And they'll do anything to be right.
Right. Even if it's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know a trader, a friend of mine, he trades $100 million in personal funds. And he carries he teaches other traders, and he says that the moment you start blaming the market, you should start carrying a mirror in your back pocket. And then as soon as you start blaming the market that it should be doing this or should be going up or should be going down, you pull out the mirror and you point it at yourself, and you start blaming the market.
That's great.
Because it's just a reflection of yourself.
Right.
So you're taking personal responsibility. One of the things that in my experience, and I teach people to follow the rules of the strategies that I teach, is unfortunately 80% of people do not follow the rules.
Right. That's why discipline is key, right?
Absolutely.
That's like Jack Schweigert said, some of the best traders are former Marines.
Yeah.
Because they're just so disciplined.
Absolutely. That is the number one key. Because if you can't follow rules, then you're in trouble. It's just especially if you're trading derivatives like options that are very volatile. You've got to stick to your rules. You know, you got to know when you're wrong, you got to get out. When you're right, you got to also have a strategy for taking profits out of the market.
Right.
What they say, leaving money on the table for the next person.
Right.
Okay, not getting greedy.
Right.
So there's a whole set of rules around that. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned, I think, over the years, psychologically, emotionally, is how to manage myself and to follow the rules.
Right.
You know, what sort of state we've got to be in. You know, the cost of not following the rules.
Right.
The money, the particularly, you know, like I said, the money management rules are critical.
Right.
You know, the moment what happens is, you know, some traders get very excited by the possibility of how much money they can make in a very short period of time. And unfortunately, they go in there and they make, you know, one person I won't name made $30,000 in 1 week on $5,000, okay? And he just couldn't believe it. The next thing, he went in and started buying much bigger lots,
positions,
number of positions.
Yeah.
Okay, and before long, he lost the lot. In fact, he lost more than $250,000. And it was just overcome. He completely broke the rules and he got overcome by greed and then fear.
Right.
And he was just, at that point, he didn't want to cut his losses.
Right.
He just didn't want to be wrong, and he was in hope and he was in denial. So, you know, it's not as easy as it sounds, but if you follow, it is easy. There's a saying I've got: trading is simple but not easy. The rules are very simple to follow. You just got to follow them. So there are money management rules that you got to stick to. Because yep. they keep you psychologically balanced in the
and
market.
And there's trading rules you got to follow.
The trading rules you must follow.
So, David, obviously, after listening to this tape, everybody in the world want to get in touch with you and attend your courses and all that. And I really do hope you come to the U.S. and begin teaching more
of
what you know. Would you mind sharing with the audience a little bit about your courses and how they get in touch with you and
okay.
the prices, you know, as of today's date and things like that, so they have an understanding of
the easiest thing, I think, is if they come to our website, which is www.wealthwise.com.au, or they can email us directly, which is info@wealthwise.com.au. And we'll give you the schedule, because our schedules change all the time.
So, David, would you mind saying what the price of your courses are?
Yeah, I run a two-day program, weekend program, which is just on understanding the fundamentals and the technicals of the market for buying stocks. So that cost of that program is $1,500.
Australian. Okay.
And the trading program that I lead, which is limited, by the way, we don't like to take more than 50 people at a time.
Okay.
It's a very intensive two-week. There's 2 days, but spread over 2 weeks. That's $5,000.
That's very good pricing for the information they get.
Well, they make that in one trade.
Jeez.
So it's
almost like they get their money back right away, then.
Yeah, as long as they don't get greedy.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad you're willing to share your years of knowledge and experience. And I just want to say the reason I hang out with David is that he's an excellent teacher. There's a lot of people who know what they know, but they don't know how to teach. And David does know how to teach what he knows. That's why we're such great friends. And I really thank you for the years of friendship.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thank you very much, Robert.